Good morning. We'll continue our study in 2 John this morning by turning to verse 9. 2 John, verse 9. 2 John is not a lengthy book, and yet it is an extremely important book in this day in which we live. You've seen in verse 8 the concern that John is expressing for the believer to reap a full reward at the judgment seat of Christ. You will remember that the book, having been addressed to the elect lady and her children, his motivation is truth and love in verse 3, and the warning has been sounded here in verse 7. Many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist, one who is against Christ. An imposter, a corrupter, a seducer. Now, having introduced this character into the sequence here, you will notice the warning, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. The implication is that these who are deceivers are in a position to cause us to lose some of that reward. And I think it goes without laboring the point too much that the way this would happen would to come under their influence in their teaching. Now, you will notice, please, verse 9. Whosoever, that means anyone, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Now, you will notice that this is a very broad, but very blunt, very pointed statement. How can something be blunt and pointed? It's focused, but it crashes like a blunt instrument when you begin to compare it or look at other religions, doctrinal positions, in light of this verse. Whosoever transgresseth, and in the context, we were talking about the deceivers in verse 7, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine. The word transgress, I don't mean to bore you with too much side material, but the word transgress, G-R-E-S-S, this root of the word has with it the idea of motion, of going somewhere. If you are making progress, you are going forward. If you are regressing, you are going backward. If you talk about a building having egress, you're talking about a way to go out. There are a lot of ways you'll find that the words in our English vocabulary have been manufactured, built out of roots and suffixes and prefixes. Whosoever transgresseth. Now, this idea of trans is over. He's going over, or he crosses over something. He is, in this case, he is going beyond the limit of true doctrine. He is crossing the line that is laid down by the doctrine. You will notice the ETH, whosoever habitually crosses that line and habitually does not abide in the doctrine of Christ. You will notice, please, this is something that is characteristic. It's not just a momentary aberration. It's not a slip of the tongue. It's not some awkwardly worded sentence. Or for that matter, it's not a position that somebody may come to in a moment of confusion, and then when it's cleared up, he says, oh, now I see. But rather, this is something that is an ongoing direction. Whosoever continually is transgressing or is habitually transgressing the doctrine of Christ, whosoever is not continually abiding or dwelling in the presence of or within the confines of the teaching of Christ, the doctrine of Christ. Now, we're not talking here so much about the teachings that Jesus gave, but rather the doctrine of Christ. Not the doctrine that he originated or that focuses on the ministry of Jesus, but rather upon the office, the position, the title of Christ. I believe yesterday or the day before we were talking about this matter of Jesus Christ. The idea of confessing Jesus Christ. We're not talking about a given name and a family name or surname. Christ is the term that is used by the Greeks in their language as a synonym, as a word that means the same thing as the Jewish concept of Messiah. Now, if that's the case, the doctrine of Christ is that teaching that lays out the promise of God for one who would come to fulfill his word, to fulfill the prophecies, to carry out the mission that God had given him, to bring salvation to all of us, or to those who believe in him. Now, that is, in essence, the doctrine of Christ. Now, we can go beyond that, and other doctrines impinge on the doctrine of Christ. We're talking about the Jesus, the fact that Jesus was the Christ, or is the Christ. Obviously, then, we need to look at the doctrine of his deity, his divinity. We need to look at the doctrine of the virgin birth, and so on. What does the Bible say about Jesus the Christ? Whosoever transgresses and does not abide in that doctrine hath not God. When a religion says that Jesus, he's a good guy, he's a great teacher, he was a prophet, he was a son of God, all those statements, while in one sense or another may be true, miss the mark. He was not just a good man. He was not just a prophet. He was not just a good teacher. But if that's where these religions leave it, they are crossing the line. They are not teaching what the Bible says about Christ. Especially if there are within the doctrines of that said religion that put Christ in a secondary or as a created being kind of position. Jesus Christ, according to the Bible, is the only begotten Son of God, and anybody that hedges on that is selling something, and it's not the truth. He's the only begotten Son of God. He is eternal. He was virgin born. His death on the cross was not faked. It was a real death. His burial was real. His resurrection was real. If it were not, then, my friend, Christianity stands on a tissue of lies. But, my friend, the Bible is clear on this. There are very few historical facts from that era that are any more firmly and honestly attested, affirmed, supported than the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. There is this political pablum, this sop that's going around. Oh, yes, well, all worthwhile religions have... Wait a minute, what do you mean all worthwhile religions? Religion is worthless in and of itself. Religion that depends on what you do or manage to avoid doing in order to get to heaven is just that, religion. It is not Christianity. You have people running around mouthing off stupid, and I could go further, I could call them asinine statements, that all great religions have some kernel of truth, and, you know, there's truth in all of them, and we ought to, you know, synthesize all the great religions of the world and come up with the real truth. What are you saying? Basically, what you're saying is the Bible is untrustworthy, you don't believe it. Now, watch. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. I don't care whether they call themselves a bishop, whether they call themselves a minister of the gospel, whether they call themselves doctor. I don't care if they call themselves a grand poobah of the third blue gin. It doesn't make any difference. He hath not God. Statement of the scripture. The title of the program is The Bible Says. Okay, friend, here's a case. This is what the Bible says. These religious characters do not have God. There are people that knock on your door that will tell you that they're ministers of the gospel. And when you push them, depending on, well, there's one I have in mind, that if you push them on the matter of the deity of Christ and what they believe about Christ, they will tell you that Jesus and Satan are brothers. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And it claims to be one of the faster-growing religions in America. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What does the Bible say? Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth, notice the ETH, not just giving lip service, but continually dwells in the presence of the doctrine. He continually abideth in the doctrine of Christ. He hath both the Father and the Son. My friend, Jesus said, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit." You cannot claim to love the Father without loving the Son. You cannot talk about loving the Son without also loving the Father. The two are inseparable in so far as your biblical faith is concerned. Now, he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Now, keep in mind, this is being directed, John says, in truth and love. It is for the purpose of ensuring that the believer receives a full reward for the things he has done for Christ. But because many deceivers are entered into the world, who would, let's face it, what's the point in deception if it is not to pull you away from something? If you have the truth in the Word of God, if you have the truth insofar as salvation goes, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, a seducer, a deceiver, a corrupter has as his goal to pull you from that position. Now, if that's the case, then indeed you will suffer loss of reward. And he's warning these folks, the elect lady and her children, whether that's an individual and her natural offspring, or whether it's talking to the church and to converts, is immaterial. The threat is real, the danger is real, the consequences are real, and this warning is real. Now, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to read verse 10 and 11, knowing full well I'm not going to be able to deal with them today, but I want to read them in the context here so that you have something to think about, and we'll come back to this tomorrow. Whosoever, verse 9, transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. See you tomorrow.